In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. So I woke up Wednesday morning, I got online, and what I realized is that the internet had blown up over a very strange controversy. There was a recording in which some people heard the word Laurel and other people heard the word Yanny. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. It seems to be the biggest controversy on the web since that blue dress. Or was it white? Or blue? Maybe white. Well, apparently the recording itself actually came from an online dictionary's pronunciation guide for the word Laurel. But like the dress controversy a few years ago, this distinction has to do with how our brain processes information. You know, we might think that we actually see things in our eyes, hear things in our ears, taste things with our tongue. The reality is all that stuff actually happens in our brains. Did you know that every one of us has a little blind spot right in the middle of our field of vision? We just, our brains have told us to ignore it. Well, we tend to think that things are universal, the way we sense the world, we experience the world. We tend to think that we all hear, taste, smell, and feel the same things. But I'll tell you, if anybody has ever worked in an office with more than four people, you will know that 78 degrees does not feel the same to everyone. But a lot of factors go into this. It's not just how our brain senses things, but our eyes and ears aren't always sensing the same ranges. But it even goes deeper than that, cognitively speaking, because our culture and our genetics also shape the way that we perceive things. Additionally, if you've ever traveled, you've probably experienced the ways that dialects and accents can change how we understand what is said to us. You know, like when you're told to mash the button. Or is it push the button or punch the button? And while you're at it, are you on the elevator or on the lift? All of this may make life feel confusing. It might even make us question our reality a little bit. But fear not, or maybe so, confusion and uncertainty is part of our human frailty. Our humanity is weak, and we as a people are vulnerable. As we saw yet one more school shooting this week, we are reminded that a small object less than half an inch in diameter can destroy a life. Vulnerability is as much a part of our humanity as our ability to reason, to love, or to pray. It is very much built into who we are, and our vulnerability is a reminder of our utter dependence on God's grace and mercy. Because, friends, where we are weak, God is strong. We heard this morning the story, probably the most well-known or only known story from the book of Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel has a vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. We probably know this story mostly because of that song, you know, the head bones connected to the neck bone. It's a catchy tune, bad biology. Anyway, I digress. In the story, God takes the prophet Ezekiel into a valley, and it is full of dried and scattered bones. And God says to Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Now, first of all, I love how God talks to Ezekiel here. You can imagine the Almighty going, looking down, going, "Oh, you down there, mortal. Can these bones live?" Well, the obvious answer is their bones. We know how life and death works. We know that once you're dead, there's generally no coming back, especially when the body is decomposed down to bones and the bones are scattered. So the obvious answer is no. But Ezekiel, in his wisdom, answers a question, really the only way that you can answer any question like that that God gives you. Oh Lord, you know. In other words, I don't know, you tell me, God. But then God asks of Ezekiel the impossible. God says to the prophet, prophesy to these bones. Well, who's there to hear? Prophesy to the bones. And so he does. But we lose something in translation here. Because first of all, we hear once Ezekiel prophesies to the bones that the bones come together in sinews, that is, ligaments and tendons, I had to look that up, start forming on the bones, muscle builds on the bones, and then skin forms on the bones, and they are bodies. But here we have a translation issue, and the reason that we hear this passage on Pentecost Sunday, because then God says, prophesy to the breath. Now, breath in Hebrew is one of my favorite words. It's ruach. I love that word. Ruach is the Hebrew word for breath, but also wind and also spirit. God tells Ezekiel that ruach will enter these bones. We read breath, but also spirit. And Ezekiel does so. And as he prophesies to the ruach, the spirit or the breath of life enters them, and those bodies that had been bones come back to life and are a great standing army. And then God explains something about these bones. God says that these bones, Ezekiel, are the house of Israel. At this time, Israel had been in exile. It, as a nation, was dead. This was a nation that was in hopelessness. All was lost. A nation of frail and weak people. And God reminds us that where we are weak, God is strong. The original day of Pentecost, that first day when all were gathered into that upper room, happened 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after that day when Jesus was killed. You think about that time span. Think back 50 days from now was Easter Sunday. But this was a Jewish festival. Pentecost is just a Greek translation for the Hebrew word Shavuot, which is just a festival in the Judaic calendar. In Christianity, we've transferred it back a few days to 50 days after Easter. But there they were gathered into that upper room, and on that day there was confusion. But not a sort of great confusion, a sort of normal confusion, a confusion that perhaps almost all of us at some point in our life have experienced. That is, people from all over the known world were gathered into one place. Have you ever been in a place where everybody else is speaking or many other people are speaking another language? It is a place of confusion. By the way, this place happens to have been the same place that 51 days prior to this event, Jesus had broken bread for the first time with his disciples. This place happened to be that same upper room of the Last Supper. It is today known as the cenacle, from the Latin word for dinner. You can go see it even today in Jerusalem. It is still around. But with those events, those two events that took place in this same room, this becomes literally the birthplace of the church. And in this place, on this day, people were gathered for this Jewish festival of Shavuot. Many languages spoken, and probably little understanding among those who were there. Not just because of their language, but people who came from different cultures. They thought differently. They understood the world differently. Probably people who were frightened and frustrated by being in a place where they could not communicate, and a great sense of what it is like to be an outsider. And then the Holy Spirit shows up. And we are taught where we are weak, God is strong. People all begin to hear the good news of Jesus Christ in their own languages. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, and all those other places we heard, where there was division, there is now unity. But of course, as soon as God does something new, there are always naysayers. Haven't we seen that? God's doing something new and somebody says, oh no, I'm not buying it. These people clearly are drunk. To which we then hear my favorite line in the entire Bible. Peter stands up and he says, well, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, dear, sweet, innocent Peter, you're clearly not from Wisconsin. But Peter stands up and he says, no, that is not what is happening. What is happening here is that God is at work. God is at work in this place, just like God is at work in this place. In our lives, we live in disunity. We see and understand the world differently. We are weak by our nature, but it is God who gives us strength. The Holy Spirit is still at work in the church today. And where we may only see an empty valley full of dried and disparate bones scattered about, where we may only experience confusion, uncertainty, frustration, and fear, it is in that time that God brings all things together. God is our strength. And so let us not fear, but let us rejoice. Amen.